TV and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to BFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. Today's going to be almost like a history lesson. We want to begin just learning out loud. Let's learn together. Let's take a little time in probably today's program and our next program to begin to find out, how did we get here? What happened? And the first thing I want to mention in this history lesson, you know, is just a couple days ago, we had 21 Christians, as you can see right here behind me, 21 Christians that were beheaded in Africa on the shores of Tripoli. Think about those words, the shores of Tripoli. Every Marine knows what I'm talking about. And we're going to find out, how did we get here, and what does that mean, and what is the picture here? And, you know, quite often when we talk about God nowadays, it's almost like they disassociate God from our day-to-day life. But I believe it was President George Washington who said that God is involved in the affairs of men. And when things start happening, it makes me think about, you know, Israel. When Israel was being brought in by God and the plans of God into a land that God had in store for them, he told Jericho, this is what I want you, he told Joshua, the first city you're going to fight is Jericho. And in that city, I'm going to defeat that city for you. This is the strategy. You march around the wall seven times. You shout, you blow the horns, the walls fall down, and that type of thing. But this whole first city is mine. Everything that comes in, this first fruits is mine in the land that I'm going to give you. But then each thereafter, you're going to get that, the spoils of those wars after that. Well, there was one particular man that didn't understand the importance and the significance. When God says something, he means something. His name was Achan. And what he did was he took some of the stuff that belonged to God. He was not walking in obedience to God. Others were. One person wasn't. And so they go to Ai. You know, I believe that God tells them to take all their troops. He only sends 30,000 troops, thinking this is a real small city. And he got defeated. Israel got defeated, and they ran back in humility, to the point where, you know, the leader of the nation of Israel went, you know, fell on his face. You know, Joshua, who loves God and was faithful, you know, to the Lord all these years, he said, he's just crying out to God. And he says, God, why are these weird things happening? Why are we losing this battle, a small city? We just beat Jericho. You're with us. And this is what God said. Somebody's got my stuff. I told you this is what you're supposed to do. I told you that. Somebody didn't do it. Get off your face, quit crying, and find out what's going on. Begin to let people know what I said I mean, and what I mean I say. And what he did was he began to have to go through everybody there to find out, listen, this is the truth. The first fruits belong to God. And it's not about finance. It's not about money. It's about, if God said it, that's the fact. And, you know, we think about today, it's not about getting smarter or learning new battle strategies or trying to figure out, you know, what kind of treaties we need to make with other nations to get through this. We got to go back to the root of the problem, and we're going to talk about, what is the root? Let's go to the historical root. How do we get here, and why are these small little battles being lost? Why are we losing our schools? Why are we losing our economy? Why are we losing our borders? All the things that are happening, it's like, I think God is trying to speak to us. The enemy doesn't have one up on God. God's speaking to us through this, and God was speaking to Joshua and Israel through their defeat in Ai. It wasn't over. He was speaking to them through that. And we have to listen. When we start losing small battles and we're thinking, how could this be? This doesn't even make sense. We got to start back and think, dear Lord, what did you tell us? Are we doing what you told us to do? Because just the other day, as you're looking at, 21 Christians were beheaded on the shores of Tripoli. Our president sent back the bust of Winston Churchill, one of the first things he did when he got into office. What does this mean? What are all these different, the apology tour where our president went around to all these different nations and apologized for the behaviors and the manners and all the things that we've done in the world. And I'm thinking, well, maybe we've done some bad things. But when I look back and look at history, I'm thinking, my goodness, America's been a real good country. based on comparison of what's going out there. We've always empowered people. And so we're going to go on this little history tour today to find out, what does all this mean? What is the significance of it? And what is God saying to us? You know, God, what is God saying to us? Instead of us going like, oh, you know, it's the Aites, and the Aites are going to destroy us, and oh, that it's Islam, and Islam's going to hurt us, or it's, you know, political parties, and they're going to hurt us. We as God people, us God's people, we know, hey, you know, God's in control. There's nobody greater than God. It's Him that we go to, and we say, Lord, what is going on? What's taking place in the world today? Help us understand. And if we have something that's yours, if we're not walking in obedience to you, if that's what you want, Lord, touch our hearts, and we'll begin to do that so that you can give us the land that you promised us. Before we do that, we want to go to John Ramos. He's going to tell us a serious matter that's taking place now with John Paul Jackson. John?
Yes, recent reports from John Paul Jackson's ministry indicate that John Paul Jackson needs urgent prayer requests, needs prayer. There are some things that are going on in his physical body, and he's under attack. We want to encourage you to pray. Over the past weekend, it's being reported that he had signs of his breathing was weakened, some of his vital organs as well were oxygen depraved. And so the ministry is asking that you would partner with them and stand in the gap for John Paul Jackson with these five prayer points, these five outlines. One of them is that they're asking that pray that whatever's blocking John Paul's lungs from receiving oxygen be removed in Jesus' name. Pray that any fluid buildup in his lungs or anywhere else be expelled from the body. And also pray for John Paul's heart to be strengthened. Pray for better blood flow and oxygen to be delivered to every organ with every heartbeat beginning immediately. And pray for supernatural strength for John Paul and Diane, and wisdom for the doctors. They say this is not a time to be sad or anything like that. This is a spiritual battle, and they would be greatly appreciated if you stand with them for John Paul's healing.
Well, Father God, we just stand in agreement right now.
Yes,
and
Lord.
And we lock our faith, Father God, for John Paul Jackson. Here, John. We lock our faith for John Paul Jackson right now, Father
yes.
God, and we intercede. You said if any two agree.
Yes, Lord.
We agree, and our audience agrees, and we just ask you, Lord, for life and health, Father God. And we just come against the spirit of infirmity and command it to go in Jesus' name. We speak oxygen
yes.
and body function in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, you know, what has taken place? What has taken place in the world today? And as I begin to just spend time with the Lord and kind of hear what was going on, you know, first thing he began to just kind of speak to me about was about, of course, Jericho and AI. When you think about Jericho and AI, when you think about, you know, what happened there was, you know, Joshua went and came out of the wilderness and with the plan of God to be able to take the property of God to do these things. And he said, listen, this is what I want you to do for the first city. The first city is actually mine. And so everything you get from it, it's going to be mine. And so God gave him this strategy, this plan to be able to do that. And he followed it. Everybody there followed it except one particular man. One particular man, you know, don't tell me that one person can't affect the outcome of what's taking place in a ministry, in a business,
that's
in
right.
a family. I don't care if it's a child, a spouse, or whatever. You can determine if bad things are going to happen by what you're allowing to take place in your life. And so he disobeyed God and took what was God's. And this is so important because right now we're seeing, and when he did that, so then they go fight a small battle after Jericho, a little small battle. And right now we're seeing so many small battles lost in America. I'm thinking, you know, this is crazy. How in the world could all these, this greatest military and this strength and the intelligence and it's like, oh, wait a minute. God is the one. God is the one who gives us victories. And if we're not walking with God, then he ain't going to give us victories. And if we're dishonoring God, he's not going to give us victories. And the big thing, too, if the church is not walking with God, I mean, not we're talking about everybody in America, but
right.
the church in America. And so when they went to go fight this small battle, because you think, man, we had World War One and we defeated the enemy in World War One, we defeated the enemy in World War Two, we became the strongest nation and the strongest economy after World War Two. I mean, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
That's right.
And God goes, it's you, right? And it's like, oh my goodness. And we're seeing now a decline in victories. But it's not, you know, it wasn't over for Israel. It was so important. You had to learn the lesson. I mean, here's this man who did what was right before God. You know, Joshua was just an awesome dude, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but yet, it didn't matter how good of a leader he was. God told him to get off his face, quit crying about this, and go find out who has my stuff. In other words, your obedience matters to God.
Yeah.
And there's been a gospel, that word means good news, so there's been stuff being preached. I mean, doctrines of demons, if you would, because if it's not of God, then it's producing demonic things. Mm-hmm. But I look at this. I look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, you know, and he says very specifically that we have an obligation to God. It's an obligation we have to God. Did you know that? Do you hear anybody telling you that you're obligated to God? Mm. No, this is what you hear people saying. God's obligated to you. But you're not hearing the fact that you're obligated to God. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to our sinful nature, live according to it. For if we live according to it, we're going to die. But it's for us to live in accordance with or the lead of God's Spirit in our life. So if God says, you know, the first fruits of his mind, we just honor him in that. Mm-hmm. And then you think about, you know, Jesus said, imitate me. He said, imitate me, right? And so in Hebrews 5, he says it in verse 7, he says, during the days of Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. This is Jesus crying out in tears. And how many people are like, I don't want any pain in my life. I don't want anything that causes me to cry. Something's dysfunctional because I'm going through a hard time. God must not be with me.
Right.
Like God was never with Jesus. Come on. Mm. And so with fervent cries and tears, he cried out to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard, not because he was the Son of God. He was heard because of his reverent obedience, his submission to God. Mm. So though he was a son, he goes on to say, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And so we have to understand that, you know, we're going through some stuff, tough times right now, and it, you know, it's going to be probably a bit worse, but it's going to get better if we learn the lessons. He learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made complete, he became a source for eternal salvation for all of those who believe. And you think about this. You think about, you know, that America became a source. It became a source for the gospel. It became a source to bring hope and freedom and just so many good things, the breadbasket and food. It became a source. But because it was we're a Judeo-Christian nation, that our founders, though flawed, and every man's flawed, you know, all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. But understand this, because God was the center of America, it's a Judeo-Christian nation that all of our laws come from the Mosaic-type laws when you look at them in Proverbs and all those things, biblical laws, that in that God honored that when we honored God. And so we want to come back. We want to find out, how does that take us to the shores of Tripoli with 21 Christians being beheaded and a president who doesn't even acknowledge that they're Christians? We stated in a previous program I did that he called them Libyan citizens, and that's a mistake. He actually called them Egyptian citizens. But the point I was trying to make was he didn't call them Christians. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I want to know if a store can make me work on a Sunday and a Wednesday night, knowing that I got to go to church, and they knew this when they hired me.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at a situation like this, they're supposed to accommodate your sincerely held religious belief. That means if someone else is available to work that Sunday shift or that Wednesday night, they're supposed to accommodate your sincerely held religious beliefs. Most companies will do it once. Sometimes they're confused about what their obligations are. But let me also take it a step further. We've got great resources on the ACLJ website that answers these questions that you could give to your employer, because you can download them right from the internet. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We want to go to the Barbary Coast. Do you know what the Barbary Coast is? Can you see me? I don't know if you can
Barbary
see me. Can they
Coast.
See me? The Barbary Coast. And why would we go there? And who is that? And what does that even mean? Well, the Barbary Coast, by the way, was where the Tripolitan War was, the War of Tripoli. And what that is, as a matter of fact, you can see right here, there's a called the War of Tripoli that's there. You hear the Marines talk about it all the time. But show the 182 here. I want you to see this, because this, when you're talking about the shores of Tripoli and you're hearing about the Barbary Coast, you can get a close-up on that and you can see this. This is these are the northern countries of Africa. And you see the Mediterranean that's right there. And those that have been in the Navy, you know, we had the six-month med cruise, the Mediterranean cruise. You're fixing to find out why we actually did that. They never told us why we were doing that. Now we actually know why we're doing that. And so when you hear me talk about the Barbary Coast, we're talking about the northern part of Africa, which is Syria, Egypt. Oh, not Syria, but Libya.
Algeria.
Morocco.
Libya.
And all the ones that we're hearing in the news today.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're thinking about, you know, what's taking place, you hear about the Marine song, and we're going to talk about that, but the first lyrics of the song says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. That's a U.S. Marine song that you sing. It's the theme song. You're singing it right here on the screen. It's like, what does that mean? Well, Tripoli is where you just saw the picture of the shores of Tripoli. That's where 21 Christians that they call crusaders, a couple of days after our president called, don't get on your high horse, don't forget about the crusaders. A few days later, they put out a video saying, we just killed 21 crusaders. Didn't even call them Christians. The president called them gypsum citizens. But understand, I mean, look again at these lyrics right here. When you saw those 21 Christians knelt down on the shores of Tripoli, and they cut their heads off and let their blood pour into the shores of Tripoli, what do you think they're saying to us, okay? What do you think they're saying to us? And you can see, obviously, these 21 Christians that were there. That was on the shores of Tripoli. Well, let's find out a little bit. You know, what is that? They're right now, they're kneeling on the shores of Tripoli. That's the song that the Marines sing. They sing from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. You know, it's like we can go back and we can read the Old Testament and we can say, hey, I understand AI, I understand Jericho, I understand Joshua. And it's like, for some reason, we don't even pay attention to the signs today.
Yeah, huge disconnect.
You know, God says, you know, I'm fashioning a storm against you, a sword against you. If you'll pay attention and you'll repent, I'll relent. I'll stop the storm.
Mm.
I mean, these are like word pictures for us. This is God saying, okay, here's the sword. It's at the neck. It's happening. A storm's being fashioned against you. A prophet is telling you. He's warning you. If you repent, it's all over. It's all done with. You're back to me. Repent means we come back to him. We give him what's his, as Achan was told.
Hmm.
And it's either open heavens above us or split earth beneath us. An open heaven means we give God what's his. And a split earth means, like Achan, the earth split and swallowed him up. We got to determine which one do we want. But what does Tripoli mean? What is the symbolism here? Well, the symbolism is Tripoli was the very first foreign war America ever faced. It's the first war they ever faced. Thomas Jefferson was president. He had been working prior to becoming president to help with this piracy that's going on of these Ottoman nations that are there, these Muslim nations that are pirates, and they are kidnapping Christians and taking them as slaves, millions as slaves. And up until the time of the American Revolution, America's ships were protected by France. But once the Treaty of Paris was signed and we became officially a nation as America, we had to do our own protection. And Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, that all these folks are saying stuff about a Quran. Let me tell you why he has a Quran. Because Islam, followers of Islam in these Barbary states, these Islamic northern Africa, They were going out and as pirates, and they were kidnapping and taking as slaves the people on these ships. And for years, the Catholic Church, they just paid tribute to them. They would just pay tribute and buy the slaves back. They, as a matter of fact, some of the advice they gave Thomas Jefferson was, you just need to start buying them back. Mm. And you start buying them back. Well, I mean, because you have to understand, there was an apology tour by our president that went around apologizing, and America has only been here for an hour. Right. We hadn't been there that long, you know.
Right.
And so it was the first, it was a place of the first place of the military conflict that went, that happened. It was the Ottoman Empire that we were having to have difficulty with, because we were having trade go back and forth in our ships. And we didn't want to go to war. We just came out of war. We didn't want to. We just had the Mexican War and all the Mexican Sea, all that. But we had to be able to, they were taking our citizens as slaves. Islam was taking American citizens as slaves. And the third president of the United States is having to deal with this. Hmm. Not the 43rd, not the 36th, all the stuff people tell you. And so Thomas Jefferson goes and meets with some of the leaders over there, trying to, you know, hey, what can we do? They gave him like $40,000 to work it out. And they ended up having to pay a huge part of the American treasury trying to free up American slaves that had been there for 10 years. Hmm. For 10 years. And they're asking questions like, you know, how could you make war against a nation? Why would you do that? And he quotes the leader of this Barbary area, quotes from the, I think it was Algeria, he quoted from the Quran saying, well, this is what the Quran says, that if we die in the name of Islam, you know, and if you are not a Muslim, it tells us that we can take everything that's yours and make you our slave. And if we die in that process, then we actually go to heaven, basically. Well, this is a shocker for Thomas Jefferson. So he has to find out, what's the Quran saying? It's like, are you serious?
Wow.
And so our battle has always been, you're talking about an apology tour. I mean, if anybody owes an apology tour, it would be Islam to the world. And so we were just trying to be a nation. We were a fledgling nation. We were trying to be able to make it. And next thing you know, our people are being taken as slaves from Northern Africa. And with that's what happened when the Marines had to go fight their first foreign war. It was fighting against Islam, who was actually taking our people, American people, and they were kind of forced into it. They didn't want to actually do this, but they had to do it. They couldn't pay. We didn't have that much money at that particular point. And I believe they paid like 1/20th of the national treasure or something to be able, trying to free them up with Morocco. And that's when Morocco came over to help out. And so we started paying some tribute for a while. And you notice today they make Christians pay tribute. In Egypt, they make Christians pay tribute. This is the Quran. This is what a caliphate is, you know. And this is what Valerie Jarrett wants to happen in America. And so he began to pay tribute, just a little bit that they could, while they were developing. You know what they developed? They developed the Navy. The Navy had to be developed because we had to have now our own Navy that protected our ships that traveled to deliver a commerce back and forth. So we didn't have a Navy, but Islam forced us to have a Navy. Not radical Islam, a caliphate Islam, the Barbary Coast, and these Barbary pirates that come in. Their goal was to take millions of Christians as slaves. And it was really, you know, as a matter of fact, I think we have some of these, a picture right now that you can see of. Yeah, look at this. This is Christians being held. You can see a closer-up look of this thing right here. This is a picture you can see. We have sources for it right there at the VFN torch. But what you see, the person in the back with the whip, that is actually a Muslim. And those walking are Christians. Mm. And they were on vessels, you know, carrying merchandise back and forth. And they held them. They took them as slaves. But it's just, that's part of the Quran. It's what it says, you know, that you can kill, you can put them in servitude, you know, you can put the sword to their neck. I mean, you have all these different things you can do. But all the plunder makes me think of Kamal Saleem, you know, with Qum Ministries. You know, when he was a radical jihadist before he got saved and gave his life to Jesus, he was coming to America to get his inheritance. That was his goal.
Wow.
That's what the Quran says, that the plunder of of the unbeliever or the infidel is yours. That's your inheritance.
So we're seeing nothing new today. This has been going on for quite a
while.
Well,
we are seeing something new. Nobody's talking about that part of history. Because I'm going back and I'm thinking, yes, you know, because I'm studying a little bit about, you know, Winston Churchill and what's taking place and, you know, and the apology tour, you know, yes, the apology tour. I see, okay, yeah, he's apologizing to all these different nations. And the Heritage Foundation said it did nothing but fuel controversies, you know, throughout, you know, the world when we went begin to talk about all these problems. If we would have kept apologizing, you know, up until the time of Islam, it would have made a lot of sense. But the reason why we have a navy based on these reports is because we had to defend ourselves from Islam. That's why we have a navy. Mm. The reason our first foreign war, people are talking about, I can't believe you're going out and you're going to these foreign places and you're carrying your Marines to these foreign places. Well, the first battle we had to go to that actually caused us to do that was against Islam. Islam was taking our citizens hostage and making them slaves and stealing all their stuff, you know, according to reports. And we have this available for you. And so when you think about this, you're thinking about, man, nobody's even talking about this. Nobody's even mentioning these different things that are taking place. And we're sitting here apologizing for, you know, bringing freedom to different places to make sure that people did not oppress people. And it was just amazing what's taking place. So we're going to go back to that in a moment. We're going to break. But, you know, the whole thing, I was trying to find out more about why did our president send the Winston Churchill bust back? And what is this apology tour and trying to if we need to understand where we're going, because there is a systematic plot and plan that people feel that America needs to be in this place, whatever that place is. And the question is this where God wants us to be? And according to what we saw happen to Israel, if we don't obey God, it may be where God wants us to be. If we don't repent and get with those who got God's stuff and say, God, we want to walk in obedience to you. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff. Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television. And that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're just going on this history tour today, just trying to figure out, you know, what's happening and, you know, why are we heading in this direction? We're definitely headed in it. And learning lessons that God does speak through things. And we have some beautiful signs that let us know that God's not pleased with our direction, but we can repent. Mm-hmm. And we'll go back to that in just a moment. But in regards to, you know, the Barbary Coast, the Barbary Pirates, and we owe Islam a thank you for helping us develop a ability to fight a foreign war. And to develop a navy, because outside of them trying, them attacking us and taking Americans as slaves, that we didn't have a navy. So we had to pay tribute for a while. Our third president, think about this. So, which means people say, well, America's been bad. We were just trying to get our footing at our, as a third president. You know, we hadn't even figured everything out yet.
Right.
It was an experiment that they didn't know. I mean, just so you know that, that means Abraham Lincoln wasn't born yet. So, you know, I just wasn't born yet. And so this was all going on. So America's battle was with Islam. And where are we today? Islam. And it's happening. But look what happened since then. They did what they had to do to be able to defeat. And so now you understand why Thomas Jefferson, you know, got a Quran, because he had to find out when he went and met with this particular leaders, like, are you serious? You know, we can become your slave. God, your God says we can be your slave, and you take all of our booty to be yours and all that. It's like, what is up with that? And so then you think about Sykes-Picot. We talked about Sykes-Picot and the Ottoman Empire and how that was all these two guys, Sykes and Picot, divided up the land and what they feel like was the Ottoman Empire. But you're looking here too, when the president first got in to office, one of the first things he did was they took the bust of Winston Churchill. And this says a lot about, you know, probably, you know, our president and how his motivation factors here. But when 9/11 hit, the reports are, according to the London Telegraph, when 9/11 hit, that they gave and put on loan to President George W. Bush this bust of Winston Churchill, because that's one of those moments, you know, because Winston Churchill was known for taking that stand and gave speeches that were powerful. It's like, we'll fight them in the streets. We'll fight them in the seas. We'll fight them. We'll fight them. We'll fight them until the most recent free nation, they didn't name us, wakes up and helps us out. And so it was the bust was in the White House because of 9/11. It wasn't there up until that point. It was there until 9/11. And so that was his first term. And his second term, they extended the stay of the bust being there. But according to the London Telegraph right here, Churchill has less, it says, has less connotations to Mr. Obama than it does to those American politicians celebrating him as a wartime leader. He goes on to write this in the Telegraph. It was during Churchill's second prime ministership that British suppressed Kenya and the Mau Mau Rebellion. Among Kenyans allegedly tortured by the colonial regime included Hussein Obama, President Obama's grandfather. Mm. So Churchill, according to the Telegraph, was responsible for President Obama's grandfather being tortured when they came and suppressed the rebellion. And some people say, well, you know, it was a rebellion. We have to understand what was going on, because you have to look a little bit more at Churchill's history here. And, you know, somebody's wrong does not give us the permission to be wrong or to do wrong or do wrong before God. But you can kind of understand, you know, what's taking place. And so President Obama's grandfather was affected by Churchill. they oppressed him. And some other aspects of, you know, some others that reported that some serious torture was done. Well, you hear their president talking about that we're not going to torture people. Well, if your grandfather was tortured, and the torturing had to do with, I believe, like pliers and body parts I don't even know if it's accurate or not, but the things that we heard from, what is the King's College?
Dinesh
D'Souza. There was reports, I don't have the details on that right now, but I believe he was saying that he was tortured very badly. Mm. And it kind of helps you understand, you know, what's going on.
Background.
And yeah. So you can see why President Obama says, we're not going to be in a nation that tortures folks.
Mm-hmm.
If your grandfather went through that, I could totally understand that. But then you look at President Obama's prayers, you know, around February 5th, I believe, at the prayer breakfast in 2015, and he starts talking about, you know, he's not talking about, he's talking about terrorism. He didn't call it radical Islam. But it's been Islam all along. It's been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, I don't know who else is doing
that. Yeah, it's like Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things don't belong. It's radical Islam. And so he tells us, he says, let's don't get on our high horse. You know, remember, you know, he says, you know, remember the Crusaders. Hmm. And it was just moments later, a video comes out of 21 Christians you're looking at right here. And so the Telegraph, just to let you know, he sent that bus back the second he got in office. You can see why he sent it back.
Mm-hmm.
But just a few days after he makes his speech at a prayer breakfast where, you know, we're supposedly praying to Jesus,
right?
I guess. Because he said, let not us get on our high horse.
Oh.
But he says, you know, let's not forget the Crusaders. And a few days later, this image that you're seeing right here, the video, this ISIS video says they were beheading Crusaders.
Mm.
These are Egyptian Christians that were being beheaded on the shores of Tripoli, where we had to go to Tripoli to be able to fight Islam in the third presidency of our nation. And other presidents were dealing with it too, but he was having to deal with it before he was president. And then when Thomas Jefferson got in, he was forced to have to deal with it. When he found out that this ideology of Islam, when they actually quoted him, this is what this means. We can actually take your stuff, kill you, put you in servitude. And, you know, we actually get rewards for this, even with a knife in our hand and taking your life. And we have all that, we'll make that available to you, what that particular leader said to Thomas Jefferson. So you can't beat that ideology. It's not, you know, it's not a jobs program, as the Secretary of State's office was talking about, you know, getting them more jobs. This is a belief. They believe the people who, the radicals who actually believe the Quran and its original writings, and we have Islam 101 for you on the VFN Torch so you can start seeing these things. It's, you know, it's you can't beat that ideology because they believe this is what you do to be able to get reward. This is your inheritance. When somebody drives down the road they are a non-believer and they are in a car, somebody like this, based on these understandings, would say, that person is driving my car. That's my inheritance. And I have heard some people in the name of Jesus preach that. Stay still on the road and cry out, you're driving my car. That's not true. I mean, that is true, but that's not right. And so then you look at this. We're just kind of going this whole, you know. So yes, you did cut the heads of Christians on the shore of Tripoli, and blood went into the water of the shores of Tripoli. And yes, you know, but we came to Tripoli because of Islam, because, you know, your forefathers were taking Americans as slaves and killing them and taking their stuff as quote, your inheritance. And so we had to, according to history, we had to go there and begin to fight something we didn't want to be able to fight. And so when you're looking at these ones being beheaded here, that's what was going on. Yeah, but you have to understand, because if we don't go in history, we think, oh, that's, you know, that's our Marine song. Because if you look at the Marine song and look at these lyrics, it says, you know, the U.S. Marine anthem, it starts out, you know, from the halls of Montezuma, which is the Mexican-American War, to the shores of Tripoli. I mean, you would think if you don't go further than that, it's like, oh, our military has caused all these problems in the world.
Mm.
No, our military went there to free the American slaves that were taken as slaves off their ships because Islam preached that that's their inheritance. These are infidels, unbelievers, and they don't believe in Muhammad, and that you can take their stuff as your inheritance. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that. So here we are today, right now, and they're trying to make our military out to be this evil force, when the truth is, and by the way, there are soldiers have done some evil things to other nations that we went there to help. But if you have a business, you know that all your employees don't represent you. Some people do some whack things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd like to apologize to the citizens of the world that if you ran into a bad soldier that did something, you know, bad. But every soldier's not like that. That was a bad apple in the midst of all of that. These are very good soldiers, good fighting men, women. And they've gone out and done some powerful things. And when they launched in their foreign war in Tripoli, they did that so they could actually set slaves free, because Islam was taking them as slaves. So when you hear that song, you know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, that's not a negative thing. We were going there to be able to free up, you know, human beings from this Barbary Muslim piracy that was going on in northern Africa around the Mediterranean. And that's why sailors and Marines, we went on those med crews for 6 months, because we were patrolling, making sure that pirates did not come against those that are in those waters right there. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
Welcome to the Army Navy Store with 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, All-Pro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none.
We want to earn your business and keep your trust. All-Pro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I've noticed that Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Steve is looking nice and crisp as well, too. I like the tie. I like that going on there. And he has gel.
He has gel today.
I'm trying to match the laundered look.
Fresh iron. There you go. But the gel works well. And, of course, Chris is smiling. Oh my goodness, we have a program. So you see, they're not working with me today. They're just like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right, I'll.
Are these really the jokes?
Okay.
Or is there more coming?
So Pat, what are you talking about today? share with us what the Lord, come on, talk to us. We have such an exciting.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going right to understanding this piracy that was going on. Remember, pirates. It's not like the movies make it out to be. Americans were forcing our third president, President Thomas Jefferson, to go deal with this piracy because their sons and their daughters and their husbands and fathers were being taken by the Barbary Coast Pirates there. They demanded $666 million from America in tribute, but all we have was like $440,000 to deal with, according to archives. They took ships called the Maria. They took the Dolphin, and they were just demanding money from us. As a matter of fact, you can see right here at number 186. This is us paying tribute. This is a captain pay. No, it's 186. This is a captain paying tribute right here to Islam. Understand, this is not a wrong thing in the mindset of Islam. This is something they see as normal.
Yeah. Well, reports are that's why James Foley and others were. They were wanting to get tribute. They were wanting to get payment. It's something that Europe had been doing for some time, paying millions of dollars for hostages.
Right, and it's called tribute. So they also talk about in 1795, you know, Algeria came to an agreement to resulted in 115 American sailors that they held. This particular agreement, they said that they would release them for over $1 million. Mm. And that amount totaled 1/6 of the entire U.S. budget. That's what they wanted.
Wow.
And it's like... This is real, folks. This is history, and so we had to begin to deal with those things that are going on. So when you see those Christians, you know, when we're 185, you can say it one more time in 185 right there. You're seeing these are Christians, and that person with the whip is a Muslim that's holding them as slaves, which they say, you know, is something that you can do according to their religion. And so America wasn't the first one to make that mistake. It's like Islam needs an apology tour to America. So it states, though, in history that what they did was they wanted to declare war against America. So what they did, they went to the place of America's embassy there, and they cut down the flagstaff and in a Barbary-type manner of doing that. And that was them declaring war, even though it wasn't an official declaration. But the difference is, instead of cutting the flagstaff off, even though you're looking at our Ambassador Chris Stevens being killed there, they cut the heads of Christians off at the shore of Tripoli. That's a declaration of war, by the way. Mm. And now you're starting to hear people say, I mean, you even hear Chris Matthews saying, this is like a religious war. And I'm like, day late, dollar short. I mean, we're already into this thing. It looks like they have a plan to come against America and against the world. And so we're learning about what's taking place here. And so we had to develop our own security since we actually declared our independence about that time. So the French no longer was going to be our Navy force. And so the question is too, why we have a Navy. Islam forced us to have a Navy, be able to defend our trade that's going on out there. And there's something that's said by Barton. What's Barton's first name? David Barton?
David Barton.
Yeah, in Wall Builders. I think it's pretty interesting what he says about this. He talks about, you know, Christians should never be fearful of any other religion. After all, if an individual has chosen Christianity, it is because he believes it's superior to all others. He, therefore, should never be threatened by a religion that he personally considers weaker than the one he practices. Mm-hmm. In fact, if Christians fear the power of other religions over the power of their own, then they are in the wrong religion. Mm. A Christian's confidence in his own religion and his confidence that God will cause the truth to prevail when presented should cause him not to exclude religious competitions, but rather to embrace the competition as America historically has done in the free market approach to religion. It's like, hey, bring your gods. Like Elijah said, let's see who's God.
Let's see.
I mean, if you pull out a sword when we're talking about it, it's different, right?
Right.
But Rabbi Lapin, you remember Rabbi Lapin, with the Jewish Policy Center says, God help Jews in America. God help Jews in America. God help Jews if America ever becomes a post-Christian secular society. Just think of Europe, he says. The fact that secularism is more dangerous to society than any other specific religious faith is statistically verifiable. For example, even though tens of millions of lives have been lost at the hands of numerous religious faiths over the past 2,000 years, and almost all those are at the hand of Islam, the number of lives lost at the hands of secular governments is just in the 20th century alone is many times greater. For example, there are 62 million, there were 62 million people killed by Soviet communists. There was 35 million people killed by Chinese communists. There was 1.7 million people killed by Vietnamese communists. There was 1.6 million in the Polish ethnic cleansing. There was 1 million by the Yugoslavia when they were killed in Yugoslavia, and there's 1.7 million in North Korea that were killed. Furthermore, the number of deaths perpetuated by individual secular leaders, government leaders, these are governments. Mm. This is what you need to worry about. Don't worry about Islam. Worry about the government that's using Islam to be able to get their way. For example, just individuals. Joseph Stalin was responsible for 42.7 million being killed. Mao Tung of China was responsible for 37.8 million. Hitler was responsible for 20.9 million. Vladimir Lenin was responsible for 4 million. Pol Pot of Korea, he was responsible for the Khmer Rouge, responsible for 2.4 million. And on and on and on. Significantly, secularism killed more in one century, John, than did any other religion combined in the 20th century. Listen, this religion's being used by these leaders like Pol Pot, like Mao Zedong, by like Lenin, and like, you know, it's being used, and the enemy's going to be evil government that comes in and begins to kill millions of people if we don't wake up. We're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have to decide, are we going to be under God, or are we going to be under government? If we're under God, government's under us. If we're under government, then government's over us. We have to make up our mind. It's a government by the people and for the people. We're just learning what's going on right here. Islam's just being used, even if they don't even know they're being used to be able to cause people to say, listen, give up, take my freedoms, take all my liberties, you know, mine all my data, forget the Fourth Amendment, forget the First Amendment, forget the Second Amendment, just protect us. And then you have things come in like Pol Pot when he said, day one's today and God is dead. Mm. And he began to kill and kill and kill. Find out more on the Pink Room. We talked about the Pink Room. Understand this. This is a strategy of the adversary, but we're finding out about it so we can repent. We can say, God, I'm starting to understand now why we're losing at AI. These are simple battles, but the truth is you're the one that gives us victories. We need to turn back to you. So I want to encourage you. This is what the Lord says. When these things happen, when I send these plagues amongst you, when all of a sudden a sword's being fashioned against you, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven. He'll stop this disaster, and he'll heal our land. I want to pray with you right now, now that we're just kind of beginning to understand this in this conversation. Father God, I thank you for giving us insight. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, and you're greater than all these other things and all this stuff out here, Lord. And we just thank you. We come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Lord, I pray for our audience right now, Lord, as we're beginning to understand, I bought into all this garbage and how religion is being used to organize our nation. But Lord, you want us to be up under you, led by your Spirit. We are obligated to you, Lord God, to obey you and to follow you, Lord God. And I pray for every lie to be pulled down, God. I pray for truth to rise up, God. I pray for men and women to be men and women, Father God, of God, to begin to raise up and say, you know what? We can stand again for God and this country and Israel, Father God. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray a blessing and peace over each of our listeners and viewers and our partners, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.